Okay, so we are back. Hello, hello, hello. And my very special guest today is Michelle. Our Director of Operations is here to join me this afternoon. So exciting. So lovely to have you. Thank you for coming, Michelle.
That's all right, Andrea. Thanks for inviting me.
So, okay. So Michelle has some things that she wants to talk about today. So I'm going to let her speak and then we'll talk about stuff as it goes along. So I think you want to talk about well-being.
I do.
Okay.
And I just want to remind people that I am the welfare lead for the company. And your managers should have shared with you the wonderful fact that we have 23 individual wellbeing policies.
23.
We've added about 15 recently in November to the 10 we already had. The maths don't add up, but yeah, there's 23. And they cover a whole range of issues that staff may be dealing with, that they can get support from their manager or they can come to me as the welfare lead. So I am also the menopause champion. So for women of a certain age that are going through the menopause, or for any of the ladies actually, to be fair, I will be looking perhaps to set something specifically up for menopause discussion during 2025. I haven't actually done anything yet, but I will. But the wellbeing policies that we have, yes, some are gender related, others not. And some people may not have heard of or know what that means. For example, the andropause policy.
Yeah.
What is the andropause? Well, it's akin to the menopause for men.
For men.
But yeah, not so detrimental or impactful on their bodies as what happens to the women. But that's a whole different debate.
Yes.
Other policies that we have. So we have some gender-based ones such as fertility journey policy, maternity policy, menopause policy, that's a new one, menstruation policy, pregnancy loss policy, and, stress management, and then we have some more generic ones such as divorce and separation, because that has a major impact on people that are going through those issues. Carers policy, and that covers, you know, not just children, but if you're caring for an adult parent, or you have responsibility for an elderly neighbour, etc., etc., that also covers those people. We finally have a mental health policy, and we have other ones, but you can find them all on the staff folder, all staff folder, and the policies under wellbeing section, and your managers should be, you know, discussing these with you during your team meetings in the upcoming months. So yes, so that's what we have internally.
Okay.
But I was just thinking, in terms of welfare and wellness, you know, what are the wellness trends in 2025? So wellness is not just about relaxation, it's about holistic lifestyle. I just did a quick Google to see what the top trends are for this year, and some of them are very interesting.
Okay.
So starting at the top trend, they say, is that retreats, wellness retreats, apparently are focusing on sport-focused experiences and digital detox. So things like trail running in the forest or up the mountain, that one, or paddle yoga on lakes.
That sounds like fun.
And the new retreat go-to places that people will be doing.
Oh, interesting.
And it's, they say, forget about aging and thinking about anti-aging. It's more about longevity and lifestyle changes. So things like walking 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
Watching your diet, having clean food.
Yeah.
Make sure you're doing your stretching exercises.
That's right.
You know, things that are more sports focused will be where people's, you know, goals and focus will be for 2025.
Yeah. That sounds good.
And then
I'd love to do a retreat.
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah, would I like to do it? I mean, sometimes people have said to me, oh, you know, what do you think about going on a retreat where you don't talk and it's a silent retreat? And I think I probably could do that.
Okay.
For so many days. I'm not like Miss Over talkative generally.
Right.
It depends how long it's for. But yeah, I suppose I also equate retreats with just relaxation, which is what they used to be in days gone by. So if they're now going to be more sports focused, that's fine as well, because I like my fitness. Paddle yoga, possibly, although I don't like being on the water, so there may be something not related to water. But yeah, I think I would look at that. I know Jenny, who does our training, some of our training.
Oh, yeah.
On the newsletter that she publishes every month or what have you, I know that she's offering a retreat that I said I was interested to know more about, but she hasn't got back to me, so I don't know what that is exactly. But I will await to hear from her around the retreat that she's running. But yeah, I think it's good to have time out of your day-to-day life, you know, from work, from being in London.
Definitely.
You know, refreshes you, doesn't it, renews you to carry on and, you know, give 100% going forward.
Yeah, and it can be cheaper than going on a holiday as well.
It can be, although some of these ones, if you're trail running in the forest or up the Alps, I'm sure it's going to come at a cost.
But, true.
Yeah, in theory, maybe.
Maybe.
Okay, then it's okay. And another trend for 2025 is actually not going anywhere and having wellness at home and creating Zen retreats.
Makes sense.
I think many of us do this already. Things like mood lighting, diffusers, candles around the bath, SED lamps for those of us. Well, that doesn't bother me, but if you don't like the dark, you know, in the winter, then having those lamps. So it's around creating a safe, kind of relaxing, peaceful environment at home if you can. If you're in a position to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the little things, some of those little things, it doesn't have to be high cost, does it? Things like candles, diffusers.
That's right, yeah.
Mood lighting.
I did my bath last night with the candles around the bath. It was the full moon, so I always do one at the full moon. Not that I only bath once a month, people, like, that's not the thing. I bath more regularly than that, but I always have a full moon bath as well, so yeah.
Okay.
With the candles and all that.
So young people, they like all that strip lighting, don't they? Like that, what is that? Oh, it's like the neon LED stuff
LED
that
lights,
colour or whatnot.
Yeah.
They've got that everywhere around the bottoms of their beds, around their wardrobes, around this, around that.
It can look nice, but if it's not too much.
Yeah.
I think around the bed is a nice one, I think. Or under the sofa that's across the bottom of the sofa.
Oh, yeah.
But if the sofa is like a white, because if it's a colour, it's a bit weird.
I don't mind it. I've actually got it under the units in my kitchen.
Oh,
but those ones that, like, constantly change colour, I think I would find irritating.
Too much.
If it's just flashing away. It's like, no.
Yeah, just the plain ones would be fine.
So how zen is your home is the question.
It's a good question. It's a good question. Because sometimes people don't think that they have to kind of make their home a zen place. Or maybe sometimes people don't know how to do it. So it's something worth looking into. Especially if, you know, when you do go home and you do want to relax after a busy day or a hard day. Then having a good routine in terms of what you're going to do for your own well-being has got to be a good thing to go, good way to go.
Yeah, and that kind of links into our right to disconnect policy, which is one of our well-being policies. Which is just, you know, when you leave the workplace, I know it's difficult at times, but it is just switching off, you know, any staff member at any tier.
You know,
it's all too easy to be thinking about what's happened. We'd all be worrying about things that still need to happen that are perhaps still on your to-do list, but there's always another day, and there's an on-call system, so it doesn't have to be your, you know, responsibility or worry, unless you're the on-call manager or the senior on-call manager.
Yeah, then you can't disconnect.
No, not for that week.
Until you're no longer on call. Yeah.
But it's important in our field that we work in, you know, it can potentially be such a stressful, you know, work environment at times that everyone needs to learn how to disconnect from the workplace and do things to de-stress.
Yeah, definitely. It is important. I mean, one of the tips that people can use as well, if you're, as you said about having a to-do list, if you create like a little, if you remember things while you're at home to do with work, just write it down and then you can deal with it the next day rather than spend the time just trying to, you know, just write it down, write a plan of how you're going to manage it or however you're going to do it, and then just take it in with you the next day and then you can get it done that way. So sometimes things do come to you when you're not at work. But it's just being able to just kind of say, all right, I'll put it in that book and then I'll take my book in tomorrow.
Okay, another trend is the rise of what's called functional drinks to target specific needs.
Oh, that's an interesting one.
These are drinks that target, like, you know, the immune system or digestive health, where you can get sleep drinks or collagen drinks.
Oh, wow.
So I know that, for example, my daughter, she takes ginger shots every day, like literally in little shot glasses. To help with her digestive health.
Yeah,
and really good for that. They're saying that will these functional health drinks take over healthy foods as the next kind of new phase of healthy eating?
I mean, it does give you that more of a concentrated hit a lot quicker than if you, you know, for instance, if you ate ginger, you can't eat as much as you could do, which you could get in a shot. So it makes sense. But it can't replace food. You've got to eat.
I'm not sure it replaces food, but I suppose it's for specific needs, isn't it? So if there's, you know, if there's a shot that you can have for stress management, I don't know what a health drink would be, but if there is, or immune support, then it's just supplements, isn't it? But they're saying, and I can hear Elizabeth in my head on my shoulder saying, check the ingredients, check that it hasn't got added sugar or additives or whatever.
So. Or sugar alcohols is another thing as well, isn't it? Like, they use that as a sugar replacement, which I didn't even know existed. I didn't even know that was a thing. So,
I just know you can learn a whole lot from Elizabeth about healthy eating and nutrition. And I'm sure she knows all about functional drinks.
I mean, the only thing I could think of as a functional drink would be, obviously, chamomile to reduce anxiety and for relaxation, chamomile tea. But, I don't know anything else.
You're going to Sainsbury's now, and there is, I was looking the other day, there's a whole section on these little shot bottles. All different colours, for all different things. Yeah, there's at least 8 of them all lined up.
Wow.
I didn't know what they were all for. I knew the ginger would just be your stomach, but the, you know, there's loads. There's a mango, I don't know, they're all different ones.
Oh, I'm going to have a look at that.
So they're getting really popular now.
Okay. So that's Sainsbury's, people. Check your local supermarkets.
I don't know, I haven't checked another retail unit yet, but that was just when I went to Sainsbury's early this week. Okay, and then the next one is something I'm already very much aware of, is cognitive health. So this is improving your brain power and your mental clarity. So for women, this is specifically important to help fight against dementia. As we get older, and it's important to have cognitive activities such as doing, you know, word searches, word puzzles to help your brain retain its health, and, you know, it's never too early to start doing stuff to protect your brain.
Or too late,
you can start whenever.
Yeah,
I do this in my Women in Leadership group. And yeah, I always make sure that we have a word search at the end of every session for this very function. I mean, it's not just for fun. Yes, it can be funny when people are trying to find all these words really quickly. And I must say, although she's not here, so she won't hear this shout out, that Miss Asha has got the quickest brain in the group. And she always finishes her word searches, you know, 5 minutes before, at least before everybody else, before the rest of us. I won't say who else is quicker, who else is slow, but it's definitely something we enjoy doing in the women's group.
Sounds quite fun, yeah.
So I'd say that to, yes, I know this is just at the management level. They've just started a men's group. Mostag's just started a men's group.
Oh.
So I would suggest that you think about word searches, Mostag. Yes. They might have the brains of the men in your group.
Just like it helps the ladies.
Yeah. But yeah, cognitive health is important, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. I know that there's a tea. There's a tea called ginkgo, which does help as well, a herbal tea. I know that Pukka do a ginkgo licorice and something, which is also helps towards dementia. The tea's actually quite nice, to be honest. I think it's licorice. Yeah. I might be mixing it up with another one, but they do a ginkgo tea anyway. And it's mixed with something, other things as well. But yeah, so that's another good thing to increase like memory function and helps against dementia as well, which is good. I mean, there's the old fashioned way of, you know, eating fish. They say it's brain food, but if you don't like fish, there's other ways. Yeah, oily fish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next one they're talking about is science and authenticity. So they predict that consumers, I'm sure this won't happen, will turn away from information on social media.
Oh.
And they'll turn away from some of the misleading information and the mass of information from influencers.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that it's going to be replaced with scientifically proven wellness solutions.
Oh, well, that would make sense.
Do you think that so many young people, not just young people, in terms of being on social media and the rise of influencers, do you think that's suddenly going to die a death in 2025? I don't know. I don't think so.
It probably won't die a death. You're right. But what I do think is that people may just need a little bit more behind someone's recommendation. They might just need a bit of proof or... to show, because the thing is, there's so many different people, and you know, everyone's different, so things work for people in different ways. So there could be an influencer who gives a lot of advice, but that's only worked for them. It's not necessarily going to work for you. So I feel something that's scientifically proven would be more of a basis for people to be able to kind of say, okay, well, at least this may work for some people who are, because they it's more of a general study, isn't it?
But
yeah, I feel...
So time will tell whether that trend actually materialises.
Hopefully it does.
Then the last one, which is really interesting for our sector and specifically as well, is the rise of AI being coaches, therapists and personal trainers.
Wow.
Which is on the rise. How is that? With the use of chatbots, ChatGPT, etc., etc. And what I did see is that they ran a study, they did an experiment apparently with a therapist and a ChatGPT thing.
Yeah, an AI bot.
And it was, they ran it to do with giving answers around relationship issues.
Oh.
And apparently they gave near identical answers across all the... you know, the things that were coming up. So there was hardly any difference on that specific angle in terms of relationship support.
Okay.
I mean, it might be different for different areas, but on that, it came out more or less neck and neck, which I'm thinking, wow, that's really interesting. You know, would that ever affect our work in support, mental health support?
I mean, it could do. I think more and more people are using ChatGPT and, you know, using AI for things like that, like general questions. How do I manage my, you know, how do I manage my life? How do I manage my relationship? What do I... But, I mean, what I always think is that AI is essentially programmed by a human being. So shouldn't it give human-like responses because it's being programmed by a human being? So for me, if it was the computer, you know, finding its information from maybe, I don't know, sources on the internet and stuff, it would be probably different. because obviously that's a small varied source, but if it's programmed by a person, it's got to be given, it's got to give a similar response to what a person would give. I don't know, would you, do you think that?
Yeah, I think it should, which I think that's what this experiment showed, but it did say that the difference between the responses is that the ChatGPT, it lacked empathy in terms of its responses.
Okay.
So it gave more or less the same answers, but it wasn't in an empathetic way.
Okay.
So that's the human touch that was missing, obviously.
Yeah.
But you're right, I think in terms of, you know, support, you know, group support around, I don't know, any kind of issue around OCD or whatever it is, you know, that can be really beneficial and helpful if people don't want to enter into face-to-face, you know, counselling or therapy.
Definitely.
They can have online support instead. So I definitely see it's got a place. Would it ever, you know, replace
people,
support staff, or what we do? I don't think so.
I don't
think it can ever be that effective as what a human can be.
No, I don't think so. And also, it doesn't, it will take away, I mean, as human beings, naturally, we need human interaction. We need to interact with each other. So wouldn't that just, you know, what would we be if it was computers that did everything? We would just be half empty souls wandering around kind of just without any kind of interaction, which I just think is that hopefully the world doesn't get to that place is what I mean. Say that.
I don't know. I think some people would like the idea of not having to work and just robots are doing everything for us and we've just got a life of leisure.
Yes, it would be nice.
I mean, I don't know, it'd be boring, I think.
It would be nice in some respects. So, you know, where you could get a robot to go and do the shopping, you know, bring it home and unpack it, that's fine. But in terms of, I mean, what happens socially then? Do we not have, you know, do you still have a bar, a nightclub? Do you have robots being your waitress? Do you go out to restaurants? What do you do? Do you still go to the theatre, or is it going to be robots performing thing?
No.
So that's the thing. It makes it, it's like, there's this fine line with a kind of how it becomes acceptable socially, or what the boundaries are then, that what's socially acceptable and what isn't. Because I don't think I could manage I don't mind being living a life of leisure, but I don't think I could manage without being social. Like, I've got to go out and I've got to
that, you know, if there was robot waitresses or robots serving drinks, that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
But definitely not at the theatre, not in the West End.
Mm.
My son, for one, would be out of a job, so that's not good for him, so I'm not advocating that.
But then, you see, what does that mean as well about income and stuff like that? Because if you're literally living a life of leisure, will income matter?
No. Well, you'd still need money to do the leisurely things, wouldn't you, I guess?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
But how would that work? It'd just be... That's the thing. It's, I think people are... Some people advocate for, like, you know, robots to do everything. And, you know, fair play. But I just feel, you know, there's got to be a boundary. Because that will just turn the whole world upside down. If robots did everything and we didn't have to go to work and robots just did it all, then there'd be no income. How would you survive? What would you have to then start growing your own food, having your own allotment patch or something? Do you see what I mean? And so that you, because you can't go to the supermarket, how does it? It will have an impact somewhere along the way. It's a bit of a weird one, but you know, sometimes it's where my brain goes. But I feel that realistically, I mean, growing your own food is not a bad thing anyway. Like, living off grid is not a bad thing, as long as you've got the tools that you know to do so. It's not a bad thing. But in terms of you know, your everyday life, I don't know. I think of that movie I, Robot. Have you seen that movie I, Robot with Will Smith?
Yeah, I'm sure I have. People ask me if I've seen this movie, have I seen it? And I never remember anything until I'm actually watching it, like some I know. And then other ones, I'm like, I'm watching it and thinking, yeah, I've seen it. But if you ask me before I've seen it, I don't know.
Okay.
But I'm sure I have. I've watched that other one where, is that Will Smith? Where the things, I don't know, they're in the jungle and there's the woman that is like, yeah, she's a robot and then she gets out of the... Where they hold her captive, and then she kills the guy that's...
Oh, I can't remember what that one's called. It's not that one. Is that Hancock?
Ava or something. Is it called Ava?
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing. I don't know. But the one I know, the iRobot, is where there's a central computer, and everyone has like a household robot that helps people get along with their life. So particularly, like, a lot of elderly people had it in their house, but the central computer was worked on AI, and but it was a it was independent AI, so it was growing its own intelligence.
Scary.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was, and then it decided that it was gonna like protect everyone, so it controlled the robots and made and enforced like a curfew and all sorts of things. Yes. So I just think of that film.
No, we don't want to get there, do we?
Yeah, that's an example of how things could go horribly wrong. And I think, you know, in terms of if there is a computer that's created that grows its own intelligence, you then have to really think about that, what that computer is in control of, because no way.
No, we don't want that.
Yeah, I'll go and live underground. I'll be one of those part of the renegade lot that live underground, that fight against the powers that be. I could not let that happen. I just couldn't. It would be nice. You'd lose all your freedom.
Yeah, go back to basic living.
Yeah, yeah.
Electricity. Try and work out how to kill the baddie robots
upstairs. Yeah, yeah. But it would be interesting. So, what do you think? I know that Karen said something about houseplants. She was having a laugh, having a giggle, saying that she was listening. And saying that talking to your plants, they won't answer back, but you can talk to them anyway. But it's true, Karen, you can talk to them anyway. Let me just check and see if I've got any emails coming through. Karen's, yeah, thank you, Karen, for your input. I hope that you are feeling better, by the way. Right next week. Okay, yeah, so apologies for the sound issues earlier. Yes, there was paper being moved around, so I do apologize for that. And I will definitely look into not doing that next time. Normally I don't have paper, normally I just use my laptop, but I was trying to do it without using the laptop today, but clearly that wasn't a good idea. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go back to the original plan of using the laptop, so I do apologize. But I'd like to say thank you very much to Michelle for joining me this afternoon. Hopefully you'll come back again and we can talk about other things.
Of course, yes. More than happy.
Yeah, so it was really good. I hope you have enjoyed. And thank you all. And I will see you next. Well, you won't. I won't see you, but you'll hear me next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.